I'm Juliana Grassi, your host of the Rare Disease Report podcast. March is Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month. So for this episode, I invited two experts on different aspects of autoimmune disease. Dr. Joe Ahern is the chair of the Autoimmunity Institute at Allegheny Health Center and has been practicing rheumatology for over 20 years. Michael Lynn is the vice chair of the Relapsing Polychondritis Foundation and an advocate of the rare disease that Dr. Ahern has had much experience treating. Relapsing polychondritis is a very rare autoimmune condition that causes inflammation of cartilage and other tissues in an individual's body. It affects approximately 3 to 5 individuals per million people. The Autoimmunity Institute recently partnered with the Relapsing Polychondritis Foundation to launch an exciting initiative which will progress the study of this rare disease and the diagnostics to discover efficient therapies for patients. In this episode, Dr. Ahern and Michael Lynn discuss why this initiative and partnership is pivotal for relapsing polychondritis and all of the obstacles that patients face with their diagnosis.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joe Ahern. I'm a rheumatologist, immunologist, molecular biologist. My career started at Johns Hopkins. I was there for 20 years, from medical school through house staff training, fellowships, and immunology, molecular biology training. My focus is on autoimmune diseases, particularly lupus and biomarkers. I'm currently the chair of the Autoimmunity Institute, Allegheny Health Network.
Great. Thank you so much.
My name is Michael Lynn. I'm the vice chair of the Relapsing Polychondritis Foundation and an advocate for autoimmune disease research and patient care.
Excellent. So we have really two sides of the spectrum here, getting a lot of insight from the experts on a disease like relapsing polychondritis. So thank you so much for being here today. I wanted to start with Dr. Ahern and ask if you can give a summary of what relapsing polychondritis is and how it affects a patient.
So relapsing polychondritis is considered to be an autoimmune disease, meaning the body is confused and instead of the immune system attacking pathogens, so viruses and bacteria, the immune system attacks the self. And in the case of relapsing polychondritis, that tends to be cartilage and cartilaginous tissues, which are throughout the body. So these can include the eye, the ear, the nose, the trachea, and the lungs, blood vessels, the heart, heart valves. And so it can have a range of manifestations. It can be mild, it can be fatal. And it's a rare disease. It only affects a handful of people per million. The actual prevalence is unknown because we don't have a diagnostic test. And that's a huge problem. So there are also no specific treatments for relapsing polychondritis. So there's a large void in terms of understanding what causes it, how to diagnose it, how to treat it, how to monitor it. And it tends to be more common in females than in males. And it's most likely a spectrum of disorders. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not one disease. And once we figure out what causes it, the genetic mutations, et cetera, we'll be able to sort out those different diseases.
Thank you. Mike, I was wondering if you could shed some light on what it's like for a patient who's living with this disease and how it impacts their everyday life.
Well, actually, I'm not a patient, but I have a close family member. My sister Nancy is battling relapsing polychondritis. So there is a spectrum with patients. For some, it's excruciating pain. It can cause significant breathing issues, skin issues. It's very challenging. But I think what is most exciting about the HN Autoimmunity Institute is that regardless of what the autoimmune disease is, they will focus and treat the, treat the patient, care for the patient and treat the disease. So for us, when my sister was diagnosed not that long ago, it was really upsetting because there wasn't any research you could find online. So we quickly decided that we needed to band together and increase awareness. And then we started to get a little bit more focused. And so we look at awareness, education, and research. And fortunately, research is happening. And we've had a nice partnership with AHN, and we're extremely enthusiastic. So the patients, it can be really challenging. A number of the patients that I've met in a short period of time, they can be fine, and then it can be, particularly brutal, and fatal. I think one of the things that is a challenge in getting the word out is it's a horrible disease name, relapsing polychondritis. And on top of that, it's not necessarily always relapsing. So in my sister's instance, it's almost a daily flare and a battle.
I see. So sometimes these obstacles can be constant because there's not even always a reprieve that patients get in between flares, is what you're saying.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. And yeah, I know, Dr. Ahern, you touched on this a little bit already, but what would you say, and Mike, you can add in too, if you'd like, what are the biggest gaps in care for this disease? I know it can be hard to diagnose, like you mentioned as well. So what are some of the areas that really need to improve?
Right. So that's a great question. And it's a critical issue. To be able to effectively treat a disease, you need to be able to diagnose it accurately. And so in the Autoimmunity Institute, we see patients on a regular basis that have gone on for years and they still don't have a diagnosis. So it's particularly important with relapsing polychondritis because we don't have accepted diagnostic criteria, meaning what are the factors that go into the equation to say this is relapsing polychondritis. We don't have a blood test. We don't have a biopsy. Like you do a biopsy for potential malignancy, you could say what kind of cancer is it. We have none of that for relapsing polychondritis. Diagnosis of rare diseases has come a long way with the sequencing of the human genome, because many of these diseases are single mutations. And so, for example, sickle cell anemia. And a patient with sickle cell anemia has actually been cured by replacing that altered piece of the gene. So that would be the type of goal for relapsing polychondritis. First of all, figure out, is it a genetic disease? What is the gene? And then be able to replace it. That would be enormous. But in the meantime, just simply being able to diagnose it accurately so we could say, okay, these patients have relapsing polychondritis, and this is the best way to treat them. Mm-hmm. Another big gap is it's not profitable for pharmaceutical companies, because if you have a rare disease, there are few patients compared to other diseases. And so investing in a potentially billion-dollar effort to come up with a drug is not going to be particularly in their best interest. So those are some of the challenges which we're poised to address.
So it's kind of on the clinical end of things and on the research end of things as well.
Yeah, exactly. It all starts with making the diagnosis and then coming up with the treatment and being able to fund the whole spectrum of activity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Mike, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think that that's very well said. And I think that the exciting part for us is that there are folks at AHN and the Autoimmunity Institute that have significant experience across a broad spectrum of diseases. And it's comforting when you can meet those experts who have seen the science progress and certain diseases, and they can compare, for example, what's happening with relapsing polychondritis with a disease like lupus, which they've been involved with a long time. But I think that the most interesting thing for us and the most exciting thing for us is just how unique the AHN Autoimmunity Institute's approach is. They focus on the coordinated, you know, care. They're highly collaborative, and it's about the teams. So regardless of your disease, you know, they can embrace it, unpack it, take care of the patient. And then on top of all that, you know, they're committed, you know, to essentially putting themselves out of business to really make a difference on these diseases. So they have, you know, significant, you know, research going on now, you know, with all sorts of exciting opportunities to go forward. And it just reminds me, a little while ago, I was introduced to an author and poet named Megan O'Rourke, who's getting ready to release her new book, The Invisible Kingdom, Reimagining Chronic Illness. And, you know, she has had her long battle, you know, with diseases. She ties it, interestingly, you know, together with regard to anything from autoimmune disease, rare disease, chronic illnesses, including long COVID. And so it's a very interesting read. But one of the things I like best about it is she very quickly seized on the uniqueness of what's going on at AHN. And that was comforting to me. I'm biased. I have a strong positive bias. But that was comforting to me because she is so knowledgeable. Sadly, she has, you know, incredible, you know, incredible experiences. So it's great to see that the word is getting out and that people are banding together to, you know, to promote research. We're not going to change anything if we don't have the research, but we need the patient care now.
In addition to what we've discussed being the challenges, another challenge with a rare disease is that no single institution is going to have enough patients to do the research that's necessary and to come up with diagnostics, to come up with therapies. You need to have biomarkers. Biomarker is something you measure. So cholesterol is a biomarker. Your red blood count is a biomarker. Blood pressure is a biomarker. We don't have biomarkers for relapsing polychondritis. And no one site, no one operation is going to be able to come up with enough patients to make meaningful discovery in most cases. So what we've done is the Autoimmunity Institute has just partnered with the Relapsing Polychondritis Foundation to launch a national and most likely international effort direct to patients where we will be recruiting patients and housing their samples at our institution that will be then available to investigators throughout the country and eventually throughout the world who want to study the disease to come up with the biomarkers, to make the diagnostics, to discover the therapies. So we're taking that approach. As I mentioned, I've been particularly focused on lupus for the last 20 years, and we've made great strides in this way with lupus diagnosis and lupus monitoring disease. So we're going to use that expertise, partner with Mike and his foundation to attack relapsing polychondritis. And I'll just add, autoimmune diseases share common pathways and most likely common genetic predispositions. So we believe that if you solve one disease, you are going to fit pieces of that puzzle into the pieces of the puzzle for the other diseases. So discovering a gene for relapsing polychondritis, that gene may well be part of the puzzle for another autoimmune disease or multiple.
Definitely. It's excellent that, you know, there's such an effort being made because clearly there's a need for one, and collaboration is always a great approach. I think you both touched on this idea that a disease like relapsing polychondritis is multifaceted in the sense that there's obstacles associated with autoimmune diseases and how, you know, their symptoms can sometimes be invisible or sometimes the struggles and the obstacles that patients face with that. But then on top of that, you know, this is also a rare disease, which comes with a lot of hindrances as well.
That awareness aspect is so critical. So if you did a survey and you asked, have you ever heard of cystic fibrosis? Most people say, sure. If you ask them, have you heard of sickle cell anemia? Sure. How about muscular dystrophy? Sure. Rare diseases? relapsing polychondritis, right? And it's an awareness. I remember as a young kid growing up in Labor Day, when it was always, I think, the muscular dystrophy telethon. And I would learn about muscular dystrophy from that. So as Mike said, I think banding together and, you know, making rare diseases as a whole more of a focus is critical. And one other piece about the patients suffering from these diseases, among the autoimmune diseases, often patients will get an injection or they'll get steroids or they'll get one of the new biological therapies and their joints might get better, their skin might get better. But what they often have, one of the most common complaints, maybe the most common, is fatigue or depression or anxiety because they don't know what the future holds. And we don't tend to address those in the healthcare system today. We don't have time to do it. We don't know how to do it. So we've put together a care transformation team that includes a clinical pharmacist, a nutrition expert, a social worker, a behavioral health expert. And when Mike says we care for the patient and we treat the disease, that's how we care for the patient. And they really greatly appreciate it. Sometimes they say, this is the first time someone's actually listened to me because we don't have time to listen anymore.
It's extraordinary to see the Autoimmunity Institute team in action. You know, it's one thing to hear about it, which is very, very exciting. But, you know, if given the opportunity, you know, to go there, you can see the patients and the layout of how they, you know, care for the patients behind it, behind these, you know, world-class state-of-the-art examination rooms is what's called a huddle hall. And all of those specialists are out there without any walls. And while you're there, you can see someone really, you know, pulling in a machine, pulling something, going to the other expert, having, you know, real-time discussions, which is extraordinary because it's so much more convenient. It's so coordinated. And these patients, rather than being said, well, you don't have this and being sent on their way, you have this team, these teams that are working together to treat that patient, you know, now. And that seems so obvious, but to my knowledge, it's just not happening except for at the HN Autoimmunity Institute. And, you know, it's an easy jump for me because, yes, I'm interested in relapsing polychondritis research, but autoimmune diseases often run in families. I'm a layperson, but in my family, folks have, you know, multiple sclerosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, relapsing polychondritis. And so, you know, it wasn't that many years ago, I didn't even know they were related. I didn't know what autoimmune diseases, you know, were at all. So the awareness, it certainly can be disease specific. But the awareness of where to go and how to get help and for people to know that they're not alone, that's very important.
I think this is a perfect example of how we address those challenges you asked us about. So I feel like I've known Mike forever, but it's only been a couple of years. I say, okay, so here are the challenges with rare diseases. But we also, because of the connections we've made, the passion we share about this one disease, relapsing polychondritis, how amazing would it be if we could solve a big piece of autoimmunity by studying relapsing polychondritis? And we can do it with our institute, with his foundation, with the biobank that we're creating, with scientists that engage, and that would be a dream come true to be able to say, look, it was a rare disease, but it provided the answers, or at least some of them.
Absolutely. On the subject of awareness and just moving forward, I know it's really important for patients to have awareness, whether they're, you know, not even a patient yet, but experiencing some symptoms. But I think that also extends to the healthcare community as well, because not a lot of places give the type or are able to give the type of comprehensive care that's given at AHN. I guess I'm wondering if there's any advice that either of you would recommend for maybe a primary care doctor or someone who, you know, works in the hospital who is having one of these mystery patients with mysterious symptoms that are coming up and like maybe how they could better confront that?
It's a huge issue. So pre-COVID, we had opened the Institute for about a year and a half, and we had already seen patients from 34 different states coming to Pittsburgh to the Autoimmunity Institute. So this included Alaska, Hawaii, Texas, California, New York, 34 states. And most commonly, they still didn't know what disease they had. They'd been to many institutions. Their treatment wasn't working, and they were lost. When we talk about what we'd done with the Autoimmunity Institute, the response would be, well, that should be the model everywhere. Well, it's really not feasible to set this up everywhere. It would be cost prohibitive and just getting buy-in, et cetera, et cetera. It took us a long time to create this. Unfortunately, we have an institution, Highmark, that understood that if we can invest in this model, it would be costly up front, but long term, we will reduce the cost and we will improve the outcomes for our patients. So it was visionary. So what do we tell our primary care? We're actually working now and engaging our primary care doctors as part of the Autoimmunity Institute team, because there are primary care needs as well. But we see it all the time. Not only what do primary care docs do, but many physicians who are rheumatologists, for example, are not so familiar with a particular autoimmune disease. So it's a big problem.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, awareness and advocacy plays such an important role in a disease like this. So I appreciate you both taking the time to spread some of that, share some of your expertise and everything.
Yeah, just could I make one final comment?
Of course, yeah.
So a common thread through all of what we're saying is caring for patients with rare disease, whether it's autoimmune or otherwise, it's a combination of art and science. And we don't have enough science and we don't have enough artists. But if we can make those discoveries and come up with the scientific test, it's going to take much less artistic expertise. If we can, for example, do a biopsy, like a liquid biopsy, and then we say, okay, this is what you have. This is what we're going to do. So we'll get there.
Absolutely.
For me, as a family member of patients with autoimmune diseases, it's very easy to support the Autoimmunity Institute because those artists are there. That expertise is there, and it's just so unique to have that multi-specialty care available. That's why people are traveling so far, and there's such pent-up demand. So I think it's important for us to let people know where to get the care. I'm a layperson, I'm not a doctor, but when I hear about people suffering and not getting a diagnosis, it's pretty rewarding to be able to give them some hope and introduce them to the Autoimmunity Institute team.
Thank you, Dr. Joe Ahern and Michael Lynn, for joining me on this episode of The Rare Disease Report, and of course, for your dedication to the relapsing polychondritis community. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out on our monthly episodes. I'm your host, Juliana Grassi, and thanks for listening to The Rare Disease Report.